Central Texas area. It's Let's Talk with your host, Eric Jackson. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And now, here's your host, Eric Jackson.
All right. Good afternoon and happy Thursday to you. This is Let's Talk, and I am your host, Eric Jackson, coming to you live. And today we have one outstanding topic planned for you, and I hope you're ready to enjoy because we're going to get it on today. So if you want to join in the conversation, you can call in at 347-838-8622. And I do have my chat room open. So if you don't feel like talking over the line, just go ahead and hit me up in my chat room, and we can get our chat on from there as well. Now, with that being said, hey, let's talk. Today's topic is, who are you and what do you want? That's right. That's what I said. Who are you and what do you want? And that is the topic today. And you know what? We're going to get deep into it. So if you want to add something to it, just give me a call and we can talk about it as much as you want to. All right. Today's topic, the question today is, who are you and what do you want? And this is not a trick question. It's not a trick question. Not at all. It is exactly what it says is. Who are you and what do you want? No, do you have any idea who you really are? Huh? Do you really know who you are? Or is your perspective of yourself based on something or someone, you know, you've seen on TV? You know, you based it on TV. Or someone you run into and you say, oh, I'm going to be like them. You know, I want to do what they do. But my question to you is, do you know who you are? You know, have you taken that time to self-analyze, to analyze yourself and find out really, really who you are? Now, I understand some people say, well, this comes with age. And as you get older, you begin to realize who you are. But I'm here to tell you, that's bull crap. And it really is, because I know plenty adults, so-called adults, that have no clue as to who they are. And that's fact. You know, they're living their lives based on what other people want them to be. That's right, what other people want them to be. Not who they know they are, but what other people want them to be. And that's no way to live. Because eventually it's going to backfire on you. You know, and once it backfires on you, you're going to be wondering what happened. Well, I'm going to tell you what happened right now because you have no idea or clue of who you are. You know, and a lot of them say, well, I don't care. I'm happy the way I am. No, you're not. You keep fooling and telling yourself you happy. You know, but on the inside, you in so much turmoil, you have no idea what's going on, and it's driving you crazy. It's driving you crazy because on the inside, you're not happy. You aren't. And the reason you aren't happy, because you have no idea of who you are or what you stand for. That's right. You have no idea. So if you don't know that about yourself, how are you going to be happy? Huh? It's one thing to put that false face on out in public. But when you're at home, and as we say, I'm depressed, and I'm this, and I'm that, you wonder why? Because you have no idea who you are. None. You know, every other week, you got some new saying. Whatever the new saying is out, that's what you're going to be using. No, it is what it is. What's up, fam? You know, or are you trying to wear the new style of clothes that's coming out? You know, or the way you think. You know, all thing you're doing is just keeping up with the times. But even though you're keeping up the times, the main issue behind all this is you have no idea what your identity is. That's right. I'm just going to tell you, you don't know what your own identity is. So anything come up that you think you may like, you jump on board. And believe you me, that's not the way to go about it. You know, you have no idea what your core values are. You know, what your ethics are. You know, you have no idea. But you're quick to tell somebody else what theirs are, and you're quick to follow that person. But how are you gonna follow somebody when you don't know what you're doing? That you know what? That's the thing where they say some are leaders or some are followers. Well, you are the follower. Everything you're doing, you are following. You're not leading anything, but you're happy with that. You're happy with that, and you shouldn't be. You shouldn't be happy with that. You should be definite and sure as to who you are. That's right. I mean, it's not difficult. It's not. You know, and you know, what you believe in or how you let other people know what your beliefs are, please, I mean, don't, oh, my, please do not feel that you are the only one with this issue, because you're not. You know, you're not the only one that has this problem. Now, you may be the only one that after the show may think about it and realize, you know, you need to do some changes, but you're not the only one. And the reason you aren't the only one, because society is set up for you to follow somebody. If you're not sure what your identity is or who you are, then you're going to follow whoever look appealing to you. That's right. And with all these different commercials and shows and what have you, you know, yeah, there's little messages, subliminal messages in there that a lot of you fall right into. I mean, when I say you fall into it, I mean, all of a sudden, you watch this show a couple of times, and next thing you know, your hair got to be like this, your clothes got to be like this, you got to have this type of shoe, this type of purse. Why? That's that person on television or in this business. That's not what you're about. Heck, you can't afford most of it half the time. But because you don't know who you are or what you stand for, hey, you as the old saying go, you know, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. That's right. And that's exactly what's happening to many of us. Now, we're falling for the simplest and dumbest things there are. And the reason why, because we have no idea who we are or what we stand for. We don't. But yet you quit to put your opinion out there and tell everybody else what they do, what they should be doing. But how can you do that if you have no clue about yourself? Yourself, you. It's just that easy. No, but yet we get caught up in so many other things. So many other things that we don't have, that we don't even realize that's what we're doing. Now, you know, there's some argument. There's some argument that, well, you know, maybe some of this, the blame should be put on the parents for not instilling it in you. Or put the blame on the person themselves, because as you get older, you should begin to realize what you are about. Now, here's the thing about that. Now, yes, in some instances, yes, your parents should try and instill some type of values and ethics in you. That's true. And there's a lot of parents out there doing that. But there are there's some parents that's not doing it. But as you get older, you should develop some values and ethics and things of your own. And that's where a lot of us get in trouble. Because if we're not getting at home, then we're going to start trying to emulate and be like somebody else that we know. That could be good, that could be bad. You know, some folk out there, some of our young kids out there trying to imitate the thugs that's standing on the corner. So that becomes their value system and their ethics, what they believe in. Even though that's not who they are, but they have no idea. Because we as parents haven't taken the time to let them develop and teach them to be themselves, to know who they are, what they believe in. And I understand that it takes some longer than others. I understand this. But should that be used as an excuse? No, should that be used as an excuse? Well, it just takes some of them longer than others. No. That is not an excuse, and that is not acceptable. Not at all. You know, and that's where a lot of times in our society or our neighborhoods and communities, we fall short. Because we're not taking the time to teach our young people to be themselves. We're not encouraging them to think on their own. No, to lead the way. Don't follow, lead. No, get out there and show them. Let them show you. You show them, and believe it or not, they will grasp some of this and move on with it. But as the adults or the so-called mentors or role models, if we're failing to do that for ourselves, how we expect our kids to follow us? How are we? And if you don't believe me, think about it. I know you have some friends out there who have kids, that have kids now, and some of them, they're trying to dress like the younger people or dressing like they still in their teenage years. You know, they even go so far as to party with their kids. Yeah, that's what I said. They party with the kids. You know some of them like that. They're hanging out in the clubs. Huh? So how are we, let's be real here, how are our children supposed to know who they are if we have no clue who we are? I mean, that is a simple question. How? Yes, some of the fault should be put on the parents because we're failing to guide our children. And by actions, as I mentioned above, that's how we're failing. Our children looking at us like, well, if mom and daddy do it, then it must be okay. And so now we're giving them the false impression that it's okay to follow somebody else. Who are you? Now, if you got kids right now, and you go and ask your kid, who are you? Only thing I'm going to say is, I'm your son. My name is so-and-so. I'm your daughter. And that's all they know. Because you haven't taken the time to sit down there and let them explore who they are. Now, find out what their cores are, what they believe in. And then you nourish that. You just don't let them go about and do it. You nourish it. You let our children know it's okay to be you. You don't have to be Kobe Bryant. You don't have to be NeNe Leakes. No, you don't have to be somebody else. Be you. Know who you are. You don't have to follow people. You lead. Make them follow you. But yet, parents, we fail to grasp that's what needs to be done because we too big caught up in ourselves following somebody else. And it's a fact. If you really sit there and think about it, you'll be like, yeah. Because, you know, we tell our kids one thing, but we go and do something totally different. You think the child not paying attention to that? And some of you out there do it, don't do as I do, do what I say. Well, you know what? You think that's getting anywhere with them? You setting a double standard. You showing them that double standards are working. You know, we have to realize who we are. And some of you out there, I'm not going to leave you out there, holy rollers. Because some of y'all out there pretending that you all this and Lord and you all that. And you have no idea who you are. You know, some of you out there going to church and you trying to dress like the preacher because the preacher wearing $300-$400 suits. But you don't know who you are either. Or the first lady. You know, and why? You trying to stand up like somebody, some minister you've seen on television. You know, because you like the way he stand, the way his facial hair is. And what is that getting you? Nothing but your pockets emptied. I'm going to tell it like it is. You have no clue who you are. And some of you married people out there, don't think you are exempt either. Y'all supposed to be married together and know stuff about each other. Heck, neither one of you know who you are. That's why you have so much problems going on in your marriage, because neither one of you know who the hell you are, what you stand for. That's right. You know. So now you're trying to make this relationship last with this other person, work with this other person, with you don't know what you are, who you are. They don't know who they are. Neither one of you know what your values and stuff are. And you're just out there trying to make something work that's twice as difficult now because neither one of you have a clue as to what's going on with yourselves. That's right. It's time for us as a people and individuals to get together and realize and do a self-evaluation and find out who are we? Who are we? What do we stand for? No, who? I mean, it's mind-boggling. It really is because you see it every day, but yet it's so subtle you miss it. Even in your own lives, people around you. And so back to my original thing, if you don't know who you are, how can you guide our children to down that road to let them know who they are? No, at young age, kids are very impressionable. They're going to follow you because you are the adult that's in their life every day. Every day. They see you every day. So if you're not trying to nourish that part of them because you don't know what's going on with you, then you're missing the boat, and they're going to miss the boat. Maybe. So that's why we need to think about these things. No, and I'm not trying to put no one down. I'm not. But these are some of the things we need to think about because we have been letting this go on longer than it's supposed to, than it should. Now, I know some of you out there saying, well, you know, there's some young mothers that's having babies and they still babies and blah, 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 blah. So that's fine. Okay, they having babies. I mean, I understand that. That's not fine, but in the scheme of things, okay, they having babies. But now the question is, who's out there? Who's out there to help them? Just because they have a baby doesn't mean they just give up on who they are. But because we as the adults don't know who we are, we go ahead and let them. And then they fall in the system. And why did they fall in? Because we had no clue who we are, what we stood for, and where we were going. So that child, when she had that baby, she felt the same way. And you didn't try and help them. If anything, some of you bad-mouthed them and told them you made your bed, now you lying it. the truth. You know it's the truth. So now you're telling them, well, whoever you think you are, it don't matter now because you got to go and do something else. You know, who you think you are or were, that's not there no more. It doesn't matter. But you're wrong. It does matter. Just because you make a mistake doesn't mean you change who you are. It doesn't. Well, I hear some of y'all that talking about, well, is she a hoe? Is she just a hoe? How you know? Are you a hoe? So if you a hoe and you always been a hoe, I guess that means she's always been a hoe. So you know who you are. So that automatically makes them who they are, right? I'm just putting it out there. I'm not sugarcoating it today. That's the way it is. But it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. And some of you have great stories to tell and pass on to your kids. Some of you do, how you didn't know who you were, but you eventually found out who you were and what you stood for, and you corrected that mistake. That you did. But you so caught up in your accomplishments and so prideful, you don't want to let that other person know that there is still a chance for them to do what's right and find out who they are and accomplish some things. I'm going to let y'all take a minute to think about that, because I know some of you thinking now. I know some of you thinking, because if I'm giving this, I'm thinking about it. Now, thank you for listening to Let's Talk. I am your host, Eric Jackson, and today's topic is, who are you and what do you want? Now, if you want to join in the conversation, you can dial in at 347-838-8622, or you can join me in my chat room, which is open, and I'd be more than happy to chat with you while the show is going on and about 15 minutes after. Now, or you can send me an email at ericletstalk@gmail.com. Now, back to what we was talking about. You know, who are you? How are you? How are you what can I say? How are you showing or illustrating to your child that being yourself is the ultimate prize? How can you say that being yourself will get you further than trying to be like somebody else? Now, we're not saying it's going to be easy, because some people are going to hate you because you are yourself. You are an individual. You're not with the rest of the crowd. You're not following the rest of the crowd. You on your own path leading the way. You're not behind anybody else following. It's not going to be easy. Yeah, some of them are going to hate on you. And they're going to do everything they can to knock you off that path. But if you know who you are and what you want and what you stand for, then it's gravy. When they throw the obstacle away, you just hop over it and keep going like it's a snake. You know, you say black folk, when you're walking through the woods, you see a snake, you just hop over and say, snake. And that's the same way of being life. You just hop over and say, obstacle. And roll on, because you know who you are. You know who you are. So, now that I'm beat up on that for a minute, we're going to go ahead and talk about the other part of today's topic. Yeah, we're going to talk about the other part. And the other part is, what do you want? Now we have established who we are, what we stand for, and where we're going. So now the question is, what do you want? Now don't think because you just done figured out who you are and what you stand for, all of a sudden everything's just going to drop in your pocket. Because you can have all that knowing who you are, what you stand for, blah, 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 so on and so forth. But if you have no idea what you want, you still going to be leading the way, but where are you leading the way to? Are you going to lead your way in the mud and just be spinning your wheels in the mud? Or are you going to lead the way for people to drive or to walk around in circles? Are you going to do this? So my question to you once again is, what do you want? And this is a very, very important question. Because the way things are going today, the way things are going, our children are going to have to know what it is they want. And we have to show them that once we decide what we want, we must also decide and show them that you have to put in the work to get what you want. You know, it's nothing is going to come easy. Let's make that straight. Nothing's going to come easy. Anything you want and that's worth it, you're going to have to put in the work. You are. You're going to have to put in the work. And that's something we as adults must teach our children. When you're out there taking shortcuts, doing so-and-so, your child notices that, believe it or not. And most of the time, they're going to ask you about it. Well, Daddy, why you do it like that? I thought it was supposed to be this way. You know, believe it or not, that is something that's showing them that, okay, you could take a shortcut, and you may get to where you're going. But life is not that easy. Sometimes shortcuts lead you right back to where you started at. It's just that simple. And as parents, do you remember when you were kids? You know, you always used to get this question. Well, when you grow up, Johnny, what you want to be? What you want to do when you grow up, Johnny? And you always had an answer. 9 times out of 10, a kid will give you an answer. You know, I want to be a policeman. I want to be a fireman. You know, some say I want to be a professional basketball player, a professional football player. But somewhere between childhood and adulthood and young adulthood, there's a disconnect. And the loss, and they lose sight of that initial dream. Which is fine. That's going to happen. It's going to happen. But when they lose sight of that initial dream, they have nothing to replace it. And the reason they don't have nothing to replace it, because they have watched you over the years say, you want to do this, you want to do that, and as soon as you run into an obstacle, it stops you. It stops you cold. And then, to top it off, you just sit there behind that obstacle. You don't try and do something else, go around it, hop over it, dig under it, or take a detour somewhere and then get back on the road. No. You stop right there at that obstacle. And you know why? Because you have no clue as to what you want. Besides the so-called American dream, a house, a car, and 2.5 kids. Now, I don't know how you get 2.5 kids, but I guess that's a dog and a cat. But the point is, besides that so-called American dream that really doesn't exist, what do you want? What do you want? And, you know, and that is something that really, really, it irritates me, because we so quick to disc and say things about other people that have accomplished what they wanted. No, we going to say, well, she must have got that because she slept with so-and-so, or he done got that because he done kissed somebody butt. But guess what? They got there, and that may not be the case. That may not be the case. But they knew what they wanted. They set their goals on it, their sights on it, and they went and got it. No matter what it took, they got there. But some of us don't even have that type of tenacity. As I mentioned before, once we hit an obstacle, that's it. Whatever we thought we wanted, well, that's it. We don't want that no more because it takes too much work to get there. So now that we've been stopped, well, we good now. Well, at least I got my house. Yeah, but you in a big old house by yourself. Now what? And see, we have to know what we want. You know, and our kids, kids pay attention to that. They pay attention. So if a kid say, Dad, I want to do this, or I want to be like you, that's fine. That's outstanding. But the question is, what do you want? Are you where you want to be? Or are you honest enough with that child to say, well, son, that's great, but Daddy has a little bit more work to do. So it's going to take you a little bit of work to do. And then you start mentoring and showing that child what it's going to take and leading them down the direction that needs to be done. Now, once you have reached wherever you're going, that child hasn't, just because that child has reached where he said he wanted to go where you are, that don't mean he's got to stop. Now, he takes the lead. No, it's like the alpha male and the young bull coming up, you know, the young pups coming up. Eventually, that alpha male got to step to the side and let that young one go on by because it's time for a new leader. But if we're not instilling that in our kids and we don't know what we want, then that's hard for that to happen. So once that old bull gets old and pass away, you don't have anybody to continue. Because you really didn't have an idea of what you wanted from the get-go, from the beginning. So you couldn't show that young bull the way either. So now they're coming up the ranks fighting and slugging and carrying on, trying to make it because they don't know what's going on. They really have no idea. And this it's real. This type of stuff is real. Now, I understand some of you say, well, it's like this. You know, you instilling in them, you show them what to do, and then all of a sudden they, you know, all of a sudden, you lose it. You tell the child, I want better for you. Okay, you want better for that child. And you want better for that child, but here's another question. Just because you want better, are you going to leave it at that? Just to tell a child, Eric, I want better for you. Now the child looking at you like, okay, what is it you want better for me? And you can't even answer that question because you don't know what the hell you want. That's what it is about. And this is, as the kids say, this real talk. This real talk. And you know what? I'm about to get just a little bit realer, as they say. It is so bad right now as far as adults trying to show our young people what is right and what's wrong or what they need to do. We got 50-year-old men, 40 and 50-year-old men walk around here talking about they want to be a dang on rapper. A rapper. Now, they haven't been to no kind of schools, no nothing, but they still walk around the street talking about they want to be a rapper. Are you serious? and they got kids at home. So what are you showing your kid? That's not realistic. 50 and 40 years old being a rapper? For real? That's an example of not knowing what you want. Because what you're seeking right now, that's unrealistic. Because 9 times out of 10, rappers don't last no more than, what, 21, 22, 25 years old? Then they get out of the rapping game and get into to producing or bringing up groups or what have you. And they have degrees. A lot of them have degrees. They've been to school. But just you saying, I want to be a rapper, you don't know what you want because you haven't taken the steps to get there. And you see it all over our community. All over the community. You know, people walking around here with braids in their head. Why? Because you seen somebody on TV with them, you thought that was cool. So now you wearing braids. But you trying to go in here and get this so-called dream job of yours wearing all these braids and tattoos. We're not going to leave out them tattoos. You don't know what you want. You getting all these tattoos because you done seen somebody else with them. And once again, you think that's the hip thing to do. So you start with one tattoo on your arm. The next thing you know, it's on your neck and down your legs and all on your back. And who the hell going to hire you like that? I don't care if you qualified like crazy. Because you've lost track of what you want. And you lost track of what you want because you don't know who the hell you are. And that's the way they roll together. That's the way it rolls together. Yes, kids are going astray. There's no doubt about that. I don't know a kid that hasn't strayed. I don't care what a parent says. Because you don't know what they're doing when they're around you. But if you have instilled those qualities in that child, the child going to come back eventually. Now, it may be somewhere down the road. But if you continue to lead, listen to the word, lead by example, eventually they're going to realize that I need to get back on that track that was set by my parents. Because apparently it must be working a little easier for them than what I'm going through right now. So let me make up my mind as to what I want. And get on that track and lead the rest of them down the road. And don't just go about lip service. You know, that's what that thing about telling your child I want better for you. That's all that is, lip service. You just running off that job, talking out the side of your neck. Your child asks you, come up and ask you right now, Mommy, Daddy, what do you want? And first thing your answer is, what you mean, what do I want? And you know that's it. What do you want? Then they go, and then you say, all right, now you're getting frustrated because the question keep coming to you, but you have no idea what that child is really asking you. Now, a parent that actually has some idea of what's going on with them in their life, after the second time, well, I want things to be better for you. I want you to do so-and-so, and I want to do so-and-so. You understand what I'm saying? Are you following me right now? You knowing what you want and who you are is a big part of surviving in this world. That's right. It's a big part. And as we go, so does our children and our communities. You You know, yes, we have a lot of people out there just lost. They have no idea who they are. They don't know what the heck they want. And right now, they really don't care. Because nobody is taking the time to sit down and explain to them that that is something that is a necessity. That's not a want. It's a necessity. If you don't know those, at least those two things, you out there. You are. Hold on, I say I got my favorite caller, Mr. Solution, on the line. Just one moment. Hello, caller. Thank you for calling. Let's talk. What's your name?
Oh, yeah. Hi. How are you today? Can you hear me?
Patients and their doctors.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Couldn't tell if you could hear me. You know, Blog Talk needs to upgrade their audio system. At any rate, you know, one of the foundational questions here is what is your community like? You're going to be limited to who you are and what you can get based on the success of your community. That is very crucial. That's why I think I shared with you in times past that family and business are the two most important aspects of human growth and development, if you recall that.
Yes, I do.
Okay. A lot of times we expect people to succeed with feet firmly planted in midair, okay? And you take black people particularly are living off of everyone else. They haven't established anything for themselves. So that's going to necessarily limit your growth ability, if you follow me.
Okay. With you so far?
See, all other people operate in a two-tier system, whereas blacks operate in a zero-tier system. Those people operate in the general economy, and they operate in their own economy. So they have both. I was just visiting, and you can do this in your area, because immigrants come here, number one, to make money. That's their primary purpose for coming here. All these people you see here who speak different languages, they're coming here to make money. No mistake, no bones about it. So you see the Vietnamese community, and I love going and visiting these communities, but they have their territory marked off to let you know you can visit, but you can't stay. And so, but where is your people's destination? Where do they do business? Everybody has to do business. Your people tend to be ignorant and loudmouth, and I'm just saying black people, and they're so damn sensitive and not logical. They're not reasonable. So what happens is black people, and I think I said this yesterday, they don't even have a market because they ignorantly hate each other. So they won't even support each other in businesses. Blacks perfectly boycott each other. There's no more perfect example of boycotting yourself than the expression of black people. Now, what's the solution to that? It's getting together, talking about it, and making yourself the shining star that you could be. But you'll never get anywhere trying to live off of someone else's economy. That's just like me trying to come in your house and set up shop. You're not going to allow that, are you?
No, I'm not.
No, you're not. And I would be a parasite, and you would be the host. So the thing of it is unless blacks get the sense, that is, blacks in America, most blacks outside of America know this already. You've got to establish at least a base so that, you see, the reason there are so many white millionaires and billionaires is because money is in their community. Politicians can't even do anything for you unless you have businesses. Otherwise, they're stealing and doing kickbacks and engaging in fraud and this kind of thing. You've got to have the sense enough to develop businesses. Businesses will help you in every way. It will provide goods and services. It will provide stability for your community. And one of the reasons that black folks hate each other, and it's really ignorant and superficial, but when a black person looks in another black person's eye, the communication is, even though this isn't done verbally, you'll never do a damn thing for me. You are worthless to me. Now, they won't admit that that is true, but it is true. Because a person that does something for you, you value. You have to value a person who does something for you. You follow me?
I'm with you. Okay, I'm...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I said I'm following you. Go ahead.
But a person who doesn't do a damn thing for you, and you never expect or anticipate or even can imagine that they will, you deem that person as worthless.
Okay.
And that's where you are. That's the reason God said, and most black people who go to church don't learn a damn thing. I talk with pastors all the time, and I say most of your sermons are worthless, because they don't address individual issues where they are. Sure, there may be some emotional masturbation and emotional, you know, exaltation in church and this kind of thing, but as soon as you go out in the world starts kicking in your ass because you don't have any knowledge as to how to operate in the world. You don't own anything. You don't control anything. Dr. Claude Anderson is a good example. He wrote a book called Powernomics. I suggest you get that book and read it, because talking about what you want in life without a foundation is, again, useless. Hmm. And who you are a reflection of your community, obviously your family, whatever your family contributed to you. So we are pretty much defined by our surroundings, by our community, and that sort of thing. And just one other thing, it has been said, and I think accurately so, American blacks don't have one functional community in the whole of the USA. Now, let me define what a functional community is.
Okay.
It's where you control the tax base, the fire and police department, and the school system.
Wow. Now, that's a very good point, and you're right. I can't think of a place in the United States where that is actually the case.
Yeah, all blacks have is neighborhoods where they eat and sleep and then get up and go to work for someone else the next day. Another thing is, on the eve of the Civil War, 1861, right in there, something like 98% of blacks worked for whites, and obviously that was during slavery. All right, come full circle, 2012, same situation. 98 to 99% of blacks still work for whites.
Oh, my. Now, you just said a mouthful there. And you're right. But those are the things that we as a people in the community don't even take the time to look at or think about.
Ah, but now I've charged you with it. That's right. Most of us are cowards. We're ignorant and we're cowards. I was on a white show, racist show, and I like that show because you get a chance to really see how the other side thinks. And the thing is that blacks could be shining stars. They have all the attributes to be super successful, but they don't have the drive and the intelligence. They don't have the intelligence in that area. Just like Robert Kiyosaki talks about financial intelligence, that's a specialized intelligence. Blacks don't connect with each other to really talk about things that will improve their life skills. They get together, they argue. See, like, I'm not arguing with you. And you're an intelligent man because I see that you do listen. Most blacks don't know a damn thing, and they don't listen so that they can learn a damn thing. You follow me? And that goes back to that principle that I gave you of valuing another person. Since they don't really see, and you know, I believe in the principle of teaching a man how to fish, juxtaposed to giving a person a fish. You know, okay. A black would be like a little puppy dog with you dangling a piece of bologna above it, and all it can think of is that bologna. It can't think of where the bologna came from, or how to make bologna, or how to create an endless supply of bologna. See, that dog can't think beyond that. It can only think to the degree that it can see. And so what happens with many blacks is, and they hate the truth. It's like the truth is the worst thing you can share with another black American. Where did they come by that attitude? The truth sets you free. You will quote that out of your Bible when you hear your pulpit pimp say it on occasion, but you don't practice it.
You're right. And like you said, that is part of the problem. Why we don't sit and listen to each other, I have no clue. Maybe it's just something that's just built in.
And this is what I say. This is you know, my background, again, is science. So I'm always testing things, and I'm proving things. That's what I think 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, prove everything, hold steadfastly to that which is good. Now, I gave a standard. I even gave this to the white racist. It applies to them, too. I said, because this guy was accusing me, he says, well, you're a sharp guy, but, you know, I don't think that advice is worth too much. Now, I said, but you're giving advice. Is your advice worth anything? And I said, moreover, if we're on Blog Talk Radio, the only activity we're engaged in is talking. We're communicating, which is a very, very high ideal, by the way. That's one of the highest activities that humans can engage in, and that's intellectual discourse.
Mm-hmm.
Follow me? Social intercourse, as it were. But one of the standards that I laid out, and this is a very palpable standard, a standard that you can touch, and that is have all your bills paid. This is what people who are going to offer advice should have all their bills current. That means all your monthly bills are paid. Number two, you've had an elimination within the last 12 hours. That means you're not constipated and you're not toxic, and you have a year's reserve in a money market, in a CD, in a savings or checking account. That means that now you're in a position of you're not distracted with bill collectors, you're not toxic with all that crap backed up in you, and you're more free to actually think. What do you think about that as a standard for people who give advice?
You know, that makes sense. That really does. That makes a lot of sense.
Will you repeat it?
If you're giving advice, you can't have any distractions.
Will you repeat those three standards before a person should? Those three standards that a person should meet before they give advice.
They should have bills paid. Okay, not be full of crap and don't be toxic.
No, have had an elimination within the last 12 hours. That's a bowel movement.
Right, exactly. And no bill collectors calling you.
Well, and a year's reserve. Now, you got to remember these now. You may want to write them down.
Year's reserve.
Because they're very good. Number one, all your monthly bills are current.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, you've had an elimination within the last 12 hours. That means you're fairly healthy, you're not toxic, your brain is not foggy from all that crap, you know, the odor and permeation of that crap drifting into your other vital organs. And you have at least a year. This is what financial planners say, not me, financial planners. You have a year's savings. You have that in reserve where you can get it if the roof collapses, if the car breaks down, you don't have to go running. See, because the major source of stress is lack of finances. You read any medical journal and you'll get a lesson on finances. I don't know if you knew that.
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah. If you read, and the major source of stress is lack of adequate finances. So my point is this. Instead of a black person arguing with another person, make sure you have those three bases covered. And if you don't have those three bases covered, work on it. Listen, learn, connect with people. Another thing I notice about blacks in America, they're so full of pride. Not only are they full of crap, they're also full of pride. They will never ask another person, how did you do that? Because that's like an admission that they haven't done as well. But so what? You weren't born with everything you needed. You weren't born knowing the alphabet. You had to acquire that. So, I mean, these are some things that we can talk about in our daily lives. Now, you heard that as a result of the economic downturn, I think the average wealth of a black person, blacks have been hit harder than any other group, is like $5,000 per family. That's the total savings that black American families have. And you can look that up, start page it, you know, just look that up. And that's very, very bad because blacks' wealth has been decimated.
And you're right. You know, and here's the thing. You know, everybody keeps talking about this mythical middle class, and there is no middle class anymore. And that's part of the reason why. You know, we used to be, at least say we'd be middle class by making, but now times have changed so much, there is no middle class. Either you down on the poverty level or you're a millionaire.
Pianki gave some stats in the chat room. He said 87% of black businesses gross less than, get this,
50K
a year.
Mm-hmm.
87% of black businesses gross less than 50K per year. That was generally considered the benchmark for an individual to, you know, gross $50,000 per year. And he's saying here the businesses. Now, I'm pretty sure he's not including the churches.
He's talking
about non-church businesses. So, look, this is my point. This could be the most wonderful thing, and I've thought of, see, your life is like a movie. What we do is we spend our money running to the movie, supporting someone else's financial plan. Learn to talk to people. I even tell the women, invite the men out to the park and you guys have a conversation. Share your lives with each other. Get to know each other. That way you won't be so suspicious and there won't be this insane balkanization. That means to separate into hostile factions. And that's what you have with American blacks. They've separated themselves into crazy, nonsensical, insane, hostile factions. And most time, blacks are friends with totally dysfunctional people. And so you can't get any growth. An author wrote a book. I'm looking at it now. It's called Black Folks' Guide to Making Big Money in America. It's by George Sabira. I think it was written in the 80s. And he said the saddest thing is, a black person won't know a particular necessary thing. And even sadder still, they don't know anybody who knows.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sad situation. That's a sad state of affairs.
Correct.
But today, I share this with blacks all the time. You can get on your computer and ask that computer any question that you can think of. Now, you may have to do a little bit of research sifting through the responses that you get, but that computer will answer any question that you have.
Yeah, that's...
You've got to frame the question. You've got to ask it the question. But I'm amazed. I type in a question, and sometimes I try to beat the computer. You know, you can play that game if you like. But damn, I go, wow, this is wonderful. And I type the question in, and then it gives me answers back. Sliced bread. So stop sending those stupid prayers on the internet and start being a prayer. Stop sending prayers and start being a prayer.
Ooh, look at that. You just said a whole mouthful with that one.
Well, yeah, but the main thing I'm saying here is talk about sensible things. Now, a lot of blacks will reject that. When you start talking about something intelligent, they don't like that. If you're not playing music, have a bunch of food, shaking your ass, a lot of them, they're just not familiar with anything other than that. But I talk about creating a healthy infection. And so start talking about these things, because most of us don't have the mental juice, the mental acumen to actually develop and progress anywhere other than the position description of working on Mr. Charlie's ranch. That in every other area of our lives where another group hasn't defined and laid out the limits of whatever it is that we are to do, we're lost. We're like a chicken with its head removed. The thing of it is, blacks need to become self-determinant, and the only way they are going to do that is to become educated of each other and develop plans. You know, they say if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. I'm sure you've heard that old aphorism or bromide,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Yeah. That's what blacks do. They when they get together, the only time you really have to develop is free time. But you don't use that time to really grow yourself. So you just get in this cyclical thing. And most blacks are afraid of getting laid off or fired from their jobs. And I understand now the military is even cutting back. Now, I had no idea until someone explained that to me. They say that they're cutting back on the military due to our budgetary problems. And I know in California, three cities have filed for bankruptcy, Modesto, Stockton, and now San Bernardino County.
Correct. Well, now, let's get back to the military real fast. Now, what people fail to realize, anytime the military has completed any big type of war, the first thing they do once they get back is downsize. Once everything is over, they downsize. I don't know whether it's the budget, but, you know, because they build up so much to fight these wars. So once the wars are over, they don't need the manpower. So that's why it's downsized.
Yeah. Right. One other related, Pianki is giving some interesting stats here, and people can check these out. I mean, he's giving them. This is from his research. It's good to check it out. He says black American businesses total 1.9 million. Over 1 million of those don't hire anyone. So they don't. So it's like sole proprietorships, apparently.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, these are some things. But remember those three standards. And I'm telling you, if blacks start working on those three standards, that is having all of their bills current, having an elimination, that way you aren't constipated and toxic, and, of course, having that year's reserve. Those are good things to work on. What do you think?
Yeah, that is. You know, of course, I've received a couple of emails saying that's kind of unrealistic. You know?
Okay, what's unrealistic? Let's talk about that, if you don't mind. What the hell is unrealistic?
I think the part of unrealistic is, in today's society, I think they're saying the 1 year is in reserve. The year in reserve is one that's unrealistic.
All right, do you think that's unrealistic?
I think I'm not going to say unrealistic, but I think it's a difficult thing to do unless you have been doing it over time.
Well, what about getting the hell to work on it? A journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. So, in other words, you sit around with your thumb up your butt and you shoot the crap. instead of working on your life plan.
Right. And see, that's what I was talking about earlier when that obstacle is put in the way. You know, when the obstacle is put, some of us, we take the initiative, move that obstacle out of the way, jump over it, go around and dig, whatever we have to do. And then there are some individuals that just decide to let the obstacle stop them. So it's the same.
No, go ahead. You're right.
So,
and that's ignorance and laziness speaking. In other words, a person will get up and argue with the person who's in that capacity, but yet they're saying, I can't do it. That's a sorry, lame-ass excuse. Let me just be very candid. And you should write them back on that email saying, that's a sorry, lazy, lame-ass excuse. No, really.
Shouldn't you?
Let's be in agreement on that.
Yes, I agree.
You use all your energy. That's just like women. When I'm often telling women to initiate communication with a man, they'll start arguing with me. I say, redirect that energy. Arguing takes power. It takes energy. In fact, we aren't even supposed to argue with a fool. And when I find out a person is a fool is one biblically defined as one who eschews knowledge. They have the ability to know, but they don't want to know. So someone who writes you back and says to you, that's unrealistic, then you need to say to them, well, it's more realistic to sit around with your thumb up your butt arguing? What is that producing?
That's not producing anything.
That's my point. So ask somebody, get your ass off of your high, prideful horse and start asking somebody. I know you don't know how to do it, just like you didn't know. I remember once upon a time when I first saw my fifth or sixth grade teacher, I saw her typing, and she had blind keys. And I was just amazed. I was looking at that. I'm like, wow. And, you know, I ended up being one of the fastest typers in my class. You know, so the thing of it is that you have to learn the things you don't know. So for a person to send you an email saying it's unrealistic for them to be successful, that's what they're saying. It's unrealistic for me to be successful. What do you think? You're going to win the lottery? Good luck.
No, you're right. And that's why I say, you know, it goes all part of back to knowing who you are and what you want, you know, and how willing are you to work for it. If you don't want to put in the work, then no, you're not going to be successful. And that's with anything you do.
Yeah, so you should write them, and I'm, you know, I apologize a little bit for getting a little bit passionate here, but I have a very short tolerance with ignorance and this objectionable behavior. Behavior that can only say, I can't. I hate that. I can't. How about asking the question, how can I? That puts your brain in a different mode. It puts your brain in a mode to be open to possibilities as opposed to when you say, I can't do something, your brain just shuts down because
yeah.
You've already told it. You're done. You're through. So if blacks would replace their arguing and I can't with how can I and getting up off your behind and asking someone, see, most of us are gutless. We don't have any courage just to even speak the truth. And so I'm really outraged that someone would write you and say they're being, when you give them a reasonable and rational prescription for success, they write back and say that's unreasonable. Well, you may as well dig your damn hole and cover up.
Oh, I like that. I like that. Hey, you know what? If they dig in that hole, they may actually dig under that obstacle that's in the way.
That's true. Hey, once they put a little work into it, because read a book. A lot of times. sometimes, yeah, a lot of people are ignorant. There's no doubt about that. They're ignorant as hell. Okay, go pick out a book. Or when you get on the internet, ask the internet, how can I, you know, what did I just say, make a gain a year's salary in reserve?
Right.
So don't send an email saying you can't. That's horrible.
It is something to think about. Now, I think that there was a misunderstanding as they're thinking, you know, it has to be, what, liquid, you know, just cash. But like you say, it could be in bonds or CDs or what have you. That'll work as well.
Well, what the financial planners are saying, going back to that stress related to finances, we live in a capitalistic society, and the only thing that opens doors for you is capital. I was listening to a priest speak on this issue yesterday, and he said no one would remember the Good Samaritan if he were broke.
Wow. Yeah. Now that is something else. You still there?
Yeah, and remember, I'm not just saying this for sensational purposes, because, look, people need to, we have all these motivational speakers, but I'm just saying some practical things. I see people wasting a lot of energy arguing and talking crap, and you know it's the other S word. But I'm just saying, redirect those energies to make yourself personally viable. Because ultimately, you know, what's at stake here is your personal happiness, your personal success. And I'm just outraged that someone would write you back when you've given them, that's a good prescription. You don't hear people often giving prescriptions for basic success. That's just basic success. That's not pie in the sky. I mean, why? Because you earn a year's salary over and over and over. So that's something that you actually do. So just double up on your efforts. I used to do financial advising just a little bit, and I would encourage people to get a second job or maybe even a third job. Save $5,000. That will cut your spending habits, and because you're working, you're not able to run your ass to the mall and waste all your resources. So that way you build up a little nest egg. And I recommend doing that for about 6 months. You don't want to burn out. That's
mm-hmm.
the other thing. You don't want to burn out. So you work 2 to 3 jobs for about 6 months, or work 2 jobs in addition to your regular job.
Hmm. Okay. Okay. Now, I think here that sounds interesting. But if you're a single parent and you have, you know, you somewhere where you have no other people, that is going to be a little difficult. I'm not saying it's not possible, but you know that's going to take some work.
Well, the thing of it is, you know, there are ways to do it. Now, I don't want to seem like a guru on this stuff because there are plenty of books on it. But whatever you're doing, you can find ways to enhance. Like a single mother, you're talking. Wait a minute. Say that again. You said, say, give me the description that you just gave me.
I say like a single mother or father family, you know, and they're in somewhere. They moved to a town or something, and they really don't know anyone. So the thought of working 2 or 3 jobs is really not a feasible idea.
Now, where did this come from? I'm just asking you, where did you get this particular thought process from? Is this personal, or is this just something you're thinking up?
It's not personal. It's just a hypothetical thing that came to my mind when you said, you know, work 2 or 3 jobs for 6 months.
Okay, but what a person can do, you can care for someone else's child. There are a lot of things you can do. Look at what you're good at and then, you know, market some of your skills. One of the most enjoyable things a person can do, and Robert Kiyosaki talks about this in his book Rich Dad, Poor Dad, is mm-hmm. to mind your own business. It's to find something else that you can make money at. And this is exactly what we're talking about instead of blacks sitting around. You know, most broke-ass people have a lot of advice. And they can argue you under the table with their broke asses. So my point is this, and brokenness makes you crazy. It makes you a fool. All you do is just argue because you don't have anything else. So what I would suggest is to, you know, you can take in another person's child. There are always going to be people in different at different levels in their thought process and in their personal success. So you could help care for another person's child and just have them maybe bring the child's food. And then you take care of the child and they pay you. You got to lower your rate in order to make it attractive to them. So that's one thing you can do if you're good at that. If you're good, if you have a child, obviously you know a lot about taking care of a child. So take in another person's child or two. And if not that, get a one lady I know, she got a job at the Home Depot. Get a job at McDonald's, a part-time job. There's something you can do to make more money if you understand the importance of making more money. But if you sit on your ass and say, that's impossible. Hey, guess what? It is.
Okay.
So there are a lot of things you can do.
Okay, I see where you're going with this now. Okay, I see where you're going, and the way you're headed. Okay, yes, I agree with you. I do agree with you. You know, but I was thinking on the lines of where you get off one job, go to another job, one job, go to another job, and that wouldn't be able to. Now I can see if you broke it down to, you know, where you go certain nights of the week. You know, and you got certain nights of the week off. I can see that working. But that goes.
Well, there's always something, you know, like in the daylight saving hours. Say, for example, during the summertime, you can take on another job because you have longer daylight hours. If you start putting your mind is the most brilliant thing there is. And it's all yours. So all you have to do is just think of something that you're pleased with doing, that you can do, and that will yield you extra income. Like this one lady was saying, this guy was a fireman. I'll just give you this example that this lady gave. And you have people all around discussing this. She said that this guy was a fireman. So firemen are off like 2 or 3 days a week. And this guy was handy, and he did like a honey-do list. And therefore, since he was in the neighborhood, and there were a lot of, you know, single people, usually mothers, he started doing their honey-do list, fixing things around their homes, repairing things around their homes, doorknobs, whatever, you know. And he was able to pull in quite a bit of money.
Okay. Yeah. Now, Piansky put something in the chat room. I still hear blacks. Discussions on their demise, blaming mythical characters for it, like Mr. Willie Lynch. Others blame slavery when many don't know how to spell the word nor what it was. Okay. And he also said, I heard all black city, Detroit City Council representing a city that was at least 90% black discussing implementing a 25% minority hiring plan. Wow.
What I would suggest to blacks is get up off their lazy, argumentative asses or butts and go to other communities that are successful. Like I'll drive through the Asian community, the Vietnamese community, the Korean community, and I'll look at all their businesses. They have their insurance businesses, and see, businesses will be attracted to you, outside businesses, when they see that you have a stable economy. So, you know, one thing you can do if you don't know how to do it, and I know you don't, I mean, I know the most blacks don't know how to do anything, but that doesn't mean you can't learn. So go to people who are doing it. See, everything you're ignorant of, there's someone who is proficient in it. They're professionals in it. And there's a book called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. I think there's a book by someone else. And that book was written in 1934, if memory serves me correctly. You can't fail with that book. That book, the Bible is a successful book. It teaches you how to be successful. Now, maybe it takes a little bit more study. But anyway, Think and Grow Rich is an excellent book. The Richest Man in Babylon, The Millionaire Next Door, you know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I recommend starting with that book. Two little 9-year-old boys wanted to know how to get rich. Hmm. And the interesting thing, the rich dad told them, he says, you know, I have X number of employees, and none of them have ever come to me and asked me this question. And I thought that was quite profound. He says, sure, they'll come to me asking me for a raise, mm-hmm. but they won't come to me and ask me how to get rich.
Okay, and you know, I'm glad you said that, because that goes back to basically today's topic. You know, he knew who he was, and he knew what he wanted, and that's the same with the kids. You know, the kids had an idea of who they were, and they knew what they wanted. They wanted to be rich like their father, so... You know, the conversation, the lines of communication were open then. See, he had already been to the mountain, so the only thing he had to do was give them the instructions or what have you, and lead them on up too till they get a certain point. Then they can go on about their ways.
Yeah, I've done a lot of mentoring in schools, and one of the first things that those young people want to know, how much you make? When you start talking about career, that's one of the first things that they're interested in knowing. How much money do you make? How much money do you make? That's what they want to know.
Yeah, and it's one of those things to where, you know, the larger the number, the more interested they become. But in many cases, that's not what they want, though. You know, they want that because that's what you have.
Well, they want it for themselves too.
Yeah, but I mean, like a bandage, because you know they really, as I was saying earlier, they have no idea who they are, or what they want. So anything that sounds good, yeah, they say they want it for themselves because it sounds good, but they're not willing to put in the work for it. Just like they weren't willing to put in the work for what they really wanted. Yes.
Well, yeah, I understand what you're saying, but look at it this way. This is a synopsis of life and different life stages. In school, you're working for grades, okay? In life, you're working for money.
Mm-hmm.
It changes. You prepare yourself in school so that you can gain the monies to live the kind of life that you want to live. That's why America shot for increasing the middle class. The middle class was considered the point of arrival, where you had, you know, the house, you had the you had home ownership, and you had money in the bank, as it were. So that's, in most countries, you only have the rich and the poor. And the poor are always struggling. They're always under pressure from everything, life issues, and so on and so forth. But the middle class was the ideal.
Mm.
And so that's what people want. See, people, and I like the fact you're discussing this, we need to, figure out what we want.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a community thing that also reflects in personal ideals. But that's going to be important. See, and our thing is, we poo-poo knowledge. If the average black person will act like they know. I don't want to talk about this. And they don't know a damn thing. They go home, and then, you know, all these bill collectors just kind of tackle them. And so that's when the guy said to you just now, I don't know if it was a woman or a man, I guess you got several emails, who said it's unrealistic for them to double up on their efforts and to put away a year's salary. Let me tell you, if you have a year's salary saved up, your boss will treat you differently. I used to have a professor that said, always build up a go-to-hell fund. Mm. That said, you know, that way if they treat you badly on your job, you can tell your boss. Now, I don't recommend doing this, and I never had to do it. Tell your boss to go to hell. But your boss will treat you differently because you'll act empowered.
Hmm.
You follow me?
Yeah, I'm listening to you. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
You know, Piansky put something on there. He says, these in-your-face discussions are needed. And I agree. I agree. These are
needed. I'm sorry, repeat that.
Piansky put on in the chat room, these in-your-face discussions are needed. And I agree.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
That's why, yeah.
Most blacks are scared to have these kind of discussions, these realistic discussions. So you've got to promote that. Remember that three, you get more mileage. Now, I know if we just say it and don't say it anymore, it'll just lie dormant. But you need to promote those three ideas. Have all your bills current, have an elimination, and have a year's reserve in savings. Before you start trying to give advice to anybody. And see, the other thing is, if you don't have that, you need to get to work on it.
Okay.
So it covers all the areas, if you follow me.
Yep, I follow. All right,
yeah.
Well, I need you to wrap it up in about 10 seconds.
Well, I'm wrapped up. I'm just, you know, I think you have a good show, and good points are made. And what I would encourage you to do is to carry these points out into the community, and that's what we all should be doing.
Okay.
But I give you permission to use my three-prong solution to anyone who wants to offer advice. Have those three bases covered yourself before you offer advice to anyone else.
Hmm.
What do you think about that?
All right. And once again, I thank you for some great comments and points. Now, that's about our show today, people. And once again, I want to thank you for listening to Let's Talk. I am your host, Eric Jackson. Now, tomorrow is what, y'all? Fun Friday. And believe you me, we have fun on Fridays. But tomorrow, being that it'll be my 50th episode, we're going to change the time to 9 p.m. Central Time. Write that down on your calendars, 9 p.m. Central Time, because we are going to have a ball. Well, that's it. I hope you learned something, and I hope you enjoyed the show. And like you say, hey, we got to get up and do what we need to do. Okay, until tomorrow, I'm out of here.